We're doing Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, we're up to the 45th chapter. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Kshenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Mitoch HaSneh Shlacho LeMitzrayim. God appears to Moshe from within the cactus, the sneh, this burning bush, and God sends him to Egypt. Amar Moshe Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says before God, Ribon Kol Olamim, Master of all the worlds, Hishave Ali, promise me, Shekol ma sheni mvakesh lasot ata oseh, that whatever I ask for, you will do. If I'm going to go, I need to know you're going to help me out here. Shelo adaber davar lifnei Paro velo taaseh v'yargeni, that I won't end up telling Paro something, and then you won't do it, and then he'll kill me. What's the deeper understanding of what's going on here? Well, you read the book of Jonah, you see that sometimes God says bad things are going to happen, and then they don't happen because the people repent. So Moshe says to God, you're going to send me, I'm the emissary, I'm going to say that there's going to be a plague of blood. Pharaoh's going to say, oh God, forgive me, and you're not going to make a plague of blood, and then Pharaoh's going to say, I'm a liar, and kill me. So Moshe says to Hashem, promise me that whatever I'm going to ask, you're going to do. I shouldn't end up getting killed over this. So God promised Moshe that whatever Moshe asks, Hashem will do. Hashem tells him, okay. And the Medrash seems to understand it means not only then, but from then on, Hashem said to Moshe, whatever you ask, I'll do, except for two things. Except for milikanes ma'aretz, except for if you ask to enter the land of Israel, umiyom ha'mavet, and the day of death. And if you think about it, the two are synonymous. The land of Israel is Eretz HaChaim, as we discussed earlier tonight. Hashem tells him, you're going to ask for more life than I've given you, and that I don't promise you I'll give you. You might ask to extend your life, you might ask to enter the land of Israel, which is the land of life. There, you're not going to ask me what to do. Uminayin sheni shibalo, so how do we know that Hashem promised Moshe? Shenemar binishbati neum Hashem, as the verse says, Hashem says, I did swear, says Hashem. So there's a big question here, how we derive it from that pasuk. But the commentaries all have different attempts at explaining what's going on here. Ukshekibelu Yisrael et adibrot. And when the Jewish people received the Ten Commandments, lachar abim yom shachechu et Elohim, 40 days later, they forgot their God. They're standing at Sinai. Okay, this is nice. V'amru la'aron, ha-mitzrim ayu nosim et Elohim, ayum shorim umzamrim lefanav, ruin oto lifnehim. Aaron, remember the good old Egyptians? They used to carry their God around with them. And they used to sing for him. And they'd see the God in front of them. Make us a God like the Egyptians. We want to see him. Shenemar, as the verse says, they said to Aaron, make us a God. So they went to Moshe's friends. Moshe left them in charge. Aaron and Hur, the pasuk says when Moshe ascended to the mountain, he said to the people of Israel, Aaron and Hur are here with you. Whoever has an issue, go to them. So Aaron and Hur were Moshe's partners in prayer in the war against Amalek. So they went to them, Aaron and Hur, who was Moshe's nephew, the son of Miriam. How do we know that Hur was Moshe's nephew, that he was the son of Moshe's sister? The verse says in Divrei Hayomim, it says, Kalev married Ephras, and she gave him the child Hur. So how do we know Ephras is Miriam? Why is it Miriam called Ephrat? Because Ephrati means politician. Ephrati means man of importance. Bat Palatini bat Melachim migdolei ador, shekol nasi v'gadol shamad b'Yisrael nikra shmo Ephrat. The leaders of Israel, are called Ephrat. Shneimaos, the verse says, V'Yarovam ben Nevat Ephrati. Yeravam, the king of the 10 tribes, was called Ephrati. David ben Ish Ephrati. King David was also called Ephrati. V'chi Ephrati haya? Did he really come from Ephrat? V'alom Shev Yudaya. He was from Judean territory. He didn't come from the city of Ephrat. Ela ben Palitini ben Melachim Migdulei Ador haya. But Ephrati means he was one who came from a castle, he was one who came from kings, he was from the leaders of the generation. So it says, Kalev married Ephras and had Hur. Who was Ephras? Ephras was really Miriam. Ephras is the term to say Kalev married a woman of importance. And then he had Hur. So Hur was no pushover. Hur came from the tribe of Judea. Hur came from Miriam and Kalev, who were going to be the progenitors of the Davidic dynasty. And when Hur sees the people going to sin with the Egel, he's not Aaron. He's fire and brimstone. He's Judea. He's Yehuda. He stands up and he starts rebuking them. He says, what's wrong with you people? You're going to go and serve an idol? V'abzuyim shebi Yisrael, and those derelicts among Israel. Amdu alav aragu. Kill them. Just like that. V'ra Aaron l'chur sh'nerag. So Aaron looks at Hur, and Aaron says, so what am I supposed to do? He tried rebuking them, and he's dead. Now what am I going to do? V'anam yizbeach. So Aaron says, I have to work it a different way. So he builds an altar. Sh'nemaos, it says, v'yara Aaron. It says, Aaron saw, and he went and built an altar. Ma'ah, what does it mean, Aaron saw? What he saw is Shenerag Chur ben Achoto. He saw that they murdered his nephew in cold blood. So they're coming to the leaders and they're telling them, here's what we want. And when one of the leaders says, no, you guys are crazy, they kill him. So what's the other leader supposed to do? He looks at them, Uvanam Mizbeach. And he says, okay, we'll build an altar, Shneimav Ibn Mizbeach. What was Aaron thinking? We'll see in 1 minute. Yes?
So I'm just curious, so it's not one of the three sins that we have to give a
fellow for? Let's hear. Dan Aaron din beno levin atzmo. Aaron started thinking to himself. He didn't say this to anyone, but this is what Aaron was thinking. Amar, Aaron said, "Im ani omer lehem tnu li kesef ezahav, if I tell them, give me silver, give me gold, miyad hem mevim, well, they got plenty of that. They'll go bring it right away. Ela reni omer lehem, but what I'm going to tell them is, tnu nizmei nishechem b'neichem uvnotechem. Go to your wives, your sons, your daughters, and get me their jewelry. Umiyad davar batel. And that will ensure that in a roundabout way, we'll be able to undo it." Because Aaron knew that the women wouldn't agree to that. He figured, I have to push them off. They're going to go home, tell their wives to give up their jewelry, and the wives will start a fight. And a good Jewish boy doesn't do things by force with his wife. So he's going to try to persuade her, and she's going to say no. And it's going to go back and forth, and by the time they actually get the jewelry, Moshe will be back. Shneimar v'yomer aleihem Aaron. So that's what Aaron says. He says, let me push him off. How do I push him off? I'm going to give him a hard task to accomplish. Shamu anashim v'lo ratzu. Aaron was 100% right. You see, the women refused. V'lo kiblo aleihem niten izmen levalehin. They refused to give their jewelry to their husbands. You want to take my jewelry for that? And here we see the greatness of the women. Because when it came time to donate for the temple, for the Mishkan, they had no problem giving up their jewelry. But when the husbands come and they want to build an idol, she says to him, for what? I'm giving you my jewelry for what? For something that has no strength, won't be of any assistance to us. It's got nothing to offer us. And God paid them back in this world. The women have a holiday on Rosh Chodesh more so than the men. There's a custom till today, it's quoted in the Torah and in the Shulchan Aruch, that women don't do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. They don't do certain work on Rosh Chodesh. They have a holiday. There are 12 months in the year, and those 12 months correspond to the 12 tribes, and each tribe was supposed to have a holiday. Rosh Chodesh corresponds to that tribe. When the tribes served the golden calf, they lost it. The women who refused to serve the golden calf, refused to partake of it, They got these 12 holidays. And so women have another 12 holidays that we don't. They have every Rosh Chodesh that they don't do work. They have a greater celebration on Rosh Chodesh than the men do. So years ago, there was a young man named David Abramowitz, Zichrono Livracha, who asked that question. And I took that question to Rav Feinstein. And Rav David Feinstein suggested that perhaps the Levites didn't have such a claim because the women, they did their best. They told their husbands, no way, you're wrong, no. The Levites stood quietly by. And proof of the pudding is that when Moshe comes down the mountain, the Levites stand up against the rest of the people. They stand up to the crowd. So where were you beforehand? Why didn't you stand up together with Hur? Why didn't you stand up and protest? How could you stand idly by while it was happening? And perhaps that was a claim against the Levim at the time. So the Levim didn't partake of it, but maybe they should have done more to prevent it. God also gave them their wages in the world to come, that they will have a rejuvenation just as the moon every month has rejuvenation. Isn't it interesting that we describe in the Song of Songs that the woman is yafach halevana, beautiful like the moon. Ra'u anashim shelo shamu anashim lehem niten nizmehen levalehen. So the men saw that the women aren't listening to them. They're not giving their jewelry to their husbands. Ma'asu, so what they do? Ad ota sha'a hayu anizamim be'oznehem. Till that time, the Jewish men were walking around with earrings. Kima'ase ha'mitzrim uch'ma'ase ha'arviim. Like the Egyptians and the Arabs. They were all wearing earrings. Parikud nizmehem asher be'oznehem. They took out the earrings. They gave it to Aaron. Shneimar, as the verse says, the nation removed their gold jewelry, their earrings. It doesn't say they took the earrings from their wives' ears, but rather it says, it says they took out the earrings from their own ears. And among all the earrings and jewelry, Aaron found a slither of gold, Shekatuvanav, Shema Kodesh, that God's holy name was written on it, Vecharutanav Tzurat Egel, and engraved on it was also the shape of an egel. That's not what it says here. And he took that golden ornament alone and put it inside the kur. The kur is the vessel that they use to molt the gold into the, what's it called? It's not really a furnace. There's a word for it with a K. A keel, maybe? Kiln. With the fire, Shneimar, it says, Vaitnulo, Vashlichem Beishen Ktiv Kanela Vashlichei Hu Vaesh. The verse doesn't say that Aaron put in all the jewelry, it says, I put in that one. What was that one? He put in that one that had the figure of a calf engraved with God's name engraved on it. Vayetse Ha'egel Haze Go'e. And then this calf came out, and the calf was making noises. The ra'u oto Israel, Israel saw the calf. Israel sees the calf, and it seems to be moving and making noise, and it seems to be alive. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Samael nichnas letocho. Rabbi Yehuda says that angel who represents all that is evil, that angel that constantly tries to remove God's name from the world, that angel, what we might call the Satan, he entered that calf, and he gave that calf the capacity to make noises, to cause Israel to err. Shneimar, as the verse says, Yada sho konehu. The ox really knows who is its master. V'ra'u oto Yisrael. So Israel saw him. They saw the calf. Unshaku. And they kissed it. V'yishtachavu lo, and they bowed it. V'yizbechu lo, and they offered sacrifices to the calf. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So Moshe is up in heaven. God says to him, Moshe shachu Yisrael et koch v'oti shasiti mehem b'mitzrayim u'b'yam suf. Israel forgot my power, my might that I did with them in Egypt and by the sea. V'asu lehem avodah zarah. They made themselves an idol. Shneimar lech red. God says to Moshe, go down, descend. Ki shichet amcha, for your nation has destroyed. Amar lo Moshe lech red ki shichet amcha. God says to Moshe, you Moshe go down, your nation has destroyed. Lech red migdulatcha. Hashem said to Moshe, descend from your spiritual heights. Amar Moshe lefanav ribono shel olam, ad shelo chatu lefanecha hayita koreh otam ami. Moshe says, wait a second, you're saying my nation? Before their sins, you used to call them your nation. Shneimar votziti tzivotai tami. When you sent me to Egypt to take them out, you said, I'm taking out my nation from Egypt. You're telling me now that they sinned, go down, your nation sinned. God, they're your nation. They're your people. That's what Moshe was pleading. They're your nation, God. Moshe took the two tablets and started descending the mountain. The Medrash is indicating that God didn't tell him to take the tablets. Moshe took the tablets. And the Medrash is indicating that quite possibly God's intent was that we not receive the tablets perhaps at that time, or perhaps at all. And so Moshe took the tablets and started descending the mountain. V'ayu ha-ketuvin sovenin et atzman v'et Moshe iman. And the writing in the tablets was so holy, just as the Aron used to hover and carry those who would seem to be carrying it, so too the Luchos, the writing in the Luchos, held the Luchos hovering in the air, and Moshe with them. Uchshera'u et atupim et amcholot ve'et ha'egel. And when Moshe and Yoshua, they saw the people playing music, dancing, the golden calf. And when the letters saw that, when they saw the people serving the idol with such joy, barichu ha-ketuvim ufarichu min aluchot. So then the writing floated into thin air. V'nimtzeu kvedin al yidei Moshe. And then suddenly, the weight of these huge slabs of stones came crashing down on the hands of Moshe. V'lo yachol Moshe lisbol et atzmo v'lo taluchot. Suddenly Moshe didn't have strength to carry himself or the luchos. V'yishlichan miyadav v'nishtaberu. So he threw them down and they broke. Shneimar, as the verse says, v'yishaber otam tachta har. Moshe broke them at the foot of the mountain. Amar Moshe la'aron. Moshe comes off the mountain. He says to Aaron, me'asit alam hazeh. Parat otam ki shapu amiznut. Aaron, what'd you do with these people? You uncovered their hair. You uncovered them. Like a woman that reveals herself, she gets uncovered because of her promiscuity. So Aaron says, I saw what they did to my nephew, Rechur. I was scared. What does Moshe Aaron answer Moshe? I was scared of the people. What he's saying is, I was scared they'd kill me too. So I figured I got to do something else. I can't go head on. That didn't work. Rebbe says, where were the other leaders? They didn't partake of the Egel. Shneimar That's why they merited to see the Shekhinah, because they never partook of it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rav Shevet Levi lo shitef atzmo b'maseh egel. Rabbi Yehuda says the tribe of Levi also wouldn't partake of the egel. Shneimar v'yamod Moshe b'shar ha'machaneh v'yasvu lav kol bnei Levi. As it says, Moshe stood at the gates of the camp. Moshe said, "Who's for God? Come to me." And all of the tribe of Levi came. When Moshe saw that one whole tribe, the tribe of Levi, did not partake of the Egel, he got stronger, he got ma'it, v'lakacht Egel usafo ve'esh. And then he stepped forward, took the calf, burnt it, v'chitato kafar ha'aretz, and ground it up like dust, v'ishlich tafu al pnei ha'mayim, scattered the dust of the gold on the water, shneimar, it says, v'lakacht Egel asher asu v'yam ha'shkeli Yisrael. It says he took that calf and ground it up to dust. Then he gave Israel, everyone drank from the water. Whoever kissed the egel with a full heart, then his lips would turn golden. And then the tribe of Levi killed him. 3,000 people died of Israel. Men, 3,000 men. Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu chamisha malachim lashchit et kol Yisrael. God sent 5 angels to destroy all of Israel. Veluhen, and these are the names of the 5 angels. Ketzef, Af, Chema, Mashchit, Charon. 5 terms for anger. Anger, wrath. These are 5 Hebrew terms for anger. And these 5 terms represent 5 angels of destruction. Shama, Moshe, v'yatzalikat avam, tzak v'yakov. Moshe heard that these angels came to destroy Israel. So Moshe went out to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Amar, and he said, if you've merited to be in the world to come, so then come stand before me now, because your children have just been given up like sheep for slaughter. And the 3 forefathers stepped forward and came and stood with Moshe. Moshe said before the Creator, Ribon kol olamim, Master of all the worlds, he points to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and says, didn't you promise them that you would make their children plenty like the stars of heaven? Shneimar, as the verse says, so on the merit of the 3 forefathers, 3 angels were stopped. Ketzef, Af, v'chema. The 3 angels whose names represent these 3 types of anger. But 2 remained. They're headed to destroy. Amar lefanav, then Moshe said before the Creator, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, Leman ha'shavua shenishbata lahem, atzom mashchit miYisrael. Because you promised the forefathers, hold back that angel that's called Mashchit, shenemar, as the verse says, asher nishbata lahem bach. Ve'netzar ha'mashchit. And then that angel was stopped. Shenemar v'hu rachum yichaper avon ve'lo yashchit. God withheld, he would not send the Mashchit, the destroyer. There's one more angel headed out there, and that is Charon. V'od amar Moshe lefanav, and Moshe said further before him, Leman ashwa shenishmat ali atzo Charon miYisrael. For the sake of the promise, you promised me, withhold that anger from Israel. Shneimar, as the verse says, Shuv mecharon apecha. Bring back the anger that you sent out. Me'asa Moshe, what did Moshe do? Chafar ba'aretz kevet dira gdola benachalat negad v'taman charon af ba'aretz ka'adam shu chavush bevet asurim. Moshe grabbed that angel. He dug a home in the territory of God, and he buried this angel there like a man that's imprisoned. U'v'chol zman shayu Yisrael choteim hu ole ofer et piv linshoch beruchho u'lashchit et Yisrael. And whenever Israel would sin, he would arise out of the dust, open his mouth and his spirit to destroy. Lefichach nikra shmo Peor. That's why that area, that angel is called Peor. Vaya Moshe mazkir alav et Hashem u'moridol lemata laaretz. Moshe would say God's hidden name and Jack in the Box, send them back down again. Uchshemet Moshe. Now what happens when Moshe's time to pass has come? Where did Moshe bury him? In the territory of God. Where's the territory of God? On the eastern side of the Jordan. Now Moshe is going to pass away. What did Hashem do? Natan et kivro kenegdo. God had Moshe's burial directly across from the place of that angel. And so whenever Israel would sin, and that angel comes back to haunt us, he comes out of the ground and he sees Moshe, Moshe's burial plot opposite him. That scares him and he goes back. As the verse says, that's why you have this unusual pasuk. The Torah tells us never to describe something by using landmarks that are idols. We don't give them that honor. And yet when it comes time in the end of the Torah to describe Moshe's burial place, it says he was buried opposite Peor. What are you saying? He's buried opposite this idol? So the answer, says the Medrash, is that he was there corresponding to that power in the world called Peor, not the idol. This angel that's called Peor, this angel that opens its mouth, so to speak, and comes out to attack us, this angel that represents the one element of the golden calf that we could not atone for. Meaning, parts of the golden calf we could get rid of, parts of that sin. What happened? The three patriarchs, Moshe's promise. But there was a fifth component that's represented by that angel. And there was that component of the golden calf, which is always there to haunt us. And so it was necessary for Moshe's burial to correspond to that. And the Medrash says it in picturesque form, that the angel comes out, sees Moshe's burial plot, and goes back down into the earth. Obviously, there's something deeper going on here, which we have to leave to someone who understands the depths of the Medrash to reveal to us.